Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the bottom of Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, 3 lines from the bottom. Before we learn the Gemara, let's just glance at the margin where we have written under our No Say heading, an indication, first of all, that this sukkah, this section, will go till Lamed Zayim Beis, a rather long piece of Gemara, and we've entitled this Klolim Legabi Birkas Borei Mine Mizonos Umi'ein Sholosh. We'll see rules concerning the first bracha of Borei Mine Mizonos, a bracha associated with a consumption of something made from the 5 grains, wheat, barley, rye, and spelt, and baked goods primarily, not consumption of raw wheat, for example. And the final bracha, known as Me'ein Shalosh, or commonly known as Al HaMichya. The Gemara, Gufa, Rav Ushmuel, the Amri Chavaya, we've noted that this is a first of 2 halachas of theirs. The Gemara will want to find out, why do I need both of these halachas spelled out? So the first halach is, they both say, Kol sheyesh bo mechameshes haminim, mevorchen olav borei minei mezonos. Any dish that has in it something of the 5 types of grains, then we make a bracha of borei minei mezonos. The Idmanami, another halach of theirs is, Rav Ushmuel de'Amri Chavaya, they both say, Kol shehu mechameshes haminim mevorchem olav borei minei mezonos. Any dish that is made of the 5 grains. Notice the first halach was, Kol sheyesh bo, any dish that has in it, indicating that there might be other things, but it also has in it of the 5 grains. And the second halacha is any dish that is made of the one of the five grains, you make a borei minei mezonos. Utsricha, and both of these halachas are necessary. And here, in standard Gemara form, the Gemara goes over why I need each one of them. And with our markings, we've indicated that this discussion of why I need both brachas is a long point. This is indicated by the nun that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. That's encircled with a descending dashed vertical line continuing down the first several lines of Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph. And also, we squiggle underline each side, each part, each half of the argument, or the point, where we say, D'i Ashmin, and had I told you only one, then I wouldn't have known the other. So we continue. Utsricha, we need both. D'i Ashmin and Kol Shehu. If I would have had only the second halacha, Hafe Amino, Mishum D'i Se B'Einei, I would have thought that the reason that you're making a borei minei mezonos brocha is because it is there by itself. The grains, the dish is made purely of one of these 5 grains. Avol al yedei taruvoi slow. But if it's a dish in which there's a mixture of 5 grains and something else, it wouldn't generate a borei minei mezonos. Komash malon kol sheyesh bo. Therefore, I need the first halacha that says any dish that has in it a representation of the 5 grains, so that will be enough to generate borei minei mezonos. Continuing here at the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the Ashmina Kol Sheyesh Boi, had we been taught that halacha, any dish that has in it of the 5 grains, Havamina Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechameshes Haminim In, Avol Uriz V'doichen Loi, Mishum Da'al Yedei Taroivis, that when you're dealing with a dish that's mixed with, let's say, one of the 5 grains and something else, so that will generate a borei minei mezonos. However, if it's orez v'dochen, orez being rice, possibly, if we assume that that's the translation, there's Rashi has another word, a word mil, and whatever the case is, we in Gemara markings aren't going to preoccupy ourselves with translations of foodstuffs and animal members of the animal kingdom. But in this case, it's pretty recognized that one of these words, orez or dochan, is a reference to rice and the others and some other substance, others foodstuff. Therefore, if I would have been taught the halach of kol shiyesh bo, I would have thought that when you're dealing with mixtures, if one of the five grains is mixed in, so then it will get a borei mine mazonos. If oiriz v'doichin is mixed in, then in a mixture form, there won't be borei mine mazonos. Avol isei be'ene, nemo afilu oiriz v'doichin nami mevorchin olov borei mine mazonos. However, if you had a pure orez or dochan dish, without anything else mixed, then it would generate a borei mine mazonos. Kol mashmalon, therefore I have the other halacha of Rav and Shmuel that says, kol shehu mechameshes haminim, any dish that is made of the five types of grain, hu de mavorchin olav borei mine mazonos, then a borei mine mazonos will be made. Lafuke orez v'dochan, to the exclusion of a bowl of rice, orez or dochan, the afilu isei b'enei, even if it's extant by itself, lo mevorchinon borei mine mazonos. This is the opinion of Rav and Shmuel that on rice, on orez v'dochan, there will be no borei mine mazonos. This very point is going to become the center of the continuation of the Gemara. We will be spending a lot of time evaluating their halacha on orez v'dochan by itself. So up till now, we have seen why we need both statements of Rav and Shmuel, that the five grains, the chita sura, the wheat and barley, spelt and rye and oats type dish, whether it's by itself or it's in a mixture form, there will be a borei mine mazonos, and this comes to exclude rice by itself, and that it will not have a borei mine mazonos. And likewise, the five grains, even if they're not by themselves, but they're part of a mixture, they will generate a borei mine mazonos. Before we go on, we encounter now a new marking, and under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have indicated that this volcano shape, or trapezoid form, is designed to be a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion of a give and take. So with the narrow part facing upwards, they represent kushios, questions. With the shape flipped over, they represent tshuvos, responses. This is going to be a birur, an attempt to clarify, eze brochos mevorchim al urz v'dochen. What brochas are made over these foodstuffs, urz and dochen, one of them being rice? We'll look into the brocha rishona, we'll look into the brocha achrona, the first brocha before eating, the final brocha after eating. Hagemora todun b'shitas Rav u'Shmuel, the Amr, the Gemara will be focusing on Rav and Shmuel that said, al urz v'dochen lo mevorchim borei mine mazonos. So we continue now in the Gemara. And maybe we should note there's another marking that will appear. A triangle will appear as well. These triangles represent kushios al Rav u'Shmuel. These are questions on Rav and Shmuel. Be'inyin brocha al ha'orez mimakoros, from sources, shemashma de birkosoi borei mine mazonos. To the contrary of Rav and Shmuel, that the brocha on the oirez is borei mine mazonos. So when the triangle appears, it will be introducing the Tanaic source. We turn to the Gemara. A question, and we call this a long question. You can see the kuf that's encircled the kushio to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical line. The Gemara asks, V'oyrez v'doichan lo mevorchinon borei mine mazonos, is that really so? That you don't make a borei mine mazonos on oyrez and doichan? The ha tanya, we have the following Tanaic source, Heviu lefonov pas oyrez upas doichan. Someone was served bread made of oyrez or bread made of doichan, mevorech olav, techila v'sof, kemaisa kedera. One makes a brocha before and after, like you would on a cooked dish of one of the five grains. V'gabi maisa kedera tanya, and regarding maisa kedera, this expression, a cooked dish, it says the following source, b'techila mevorech olav borei mine mazonos, The first bracha is a borei minei mezonos text, and ulebasof mevarech alav bracha achas ma'ein shalosh, what we conveniently refer to as the al hamichya bracha. It's called me'ein shalosh, it's meaning the essence of the three, because it's a concise form of birchas hamazon textually. But it's not an actual birchas hamazon, it's a separate bracha known as al hamichya. The question, though, is raised, and simply by focusing on the markings, you can see very clearly what the question is. Oros is dashed, underlined, as well as borei minei mezonos is dashed, underlined. And you see that Oros will get a borei minei mezonos. You see this from a Tanaic source, and this would pose a challenge to Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara responds as follows. It's a long answer, so we have a tuf indicating a teretz with a vertical descending dashed line. All of these lines constitute the response. And it's as follows. K'maisi k'dera v'lo k'maisi k'dera. The parallel between Oros Doichen and Maisi k'dera. Maisi k'dera, as we said before, was a dish made of the five grains that we know do get a borei minei mezonos. There is a parallel between the Oros Doichen and Maisi k'dera, but not a complete parallel. So that's what we're answering. K'maisi k'dera v'lo k'maisi k'dera. K'maisi k'dera de mevorchin olav t'chila v'sof. Oros and Doichen are similar to Maisi k'dera in so far as that there's a bracha before and a bracha after. However, v'loy k'maisi k'dera, but there is a lack of parallel, d'ilu Maisi k'dera t'chila borei minei mezonos sof bracha achas me'ein shalosh. With the Maisi k'dera, the pre-bracha is borei minei mezonos, and the final bracha is the al hamichya. V'ilu hacha, but here in the case of Oros and Doichen, b'tchila mevorach lov sheha kol niya b'dvoroi, v'lebesoif borei nefoshes rabbis v'chesur non al kol ma'ashe boro. So, as far as Rav and Shmuel are concerned, so far, so good. They have their way, even in the face of this Tanaic material. Question. V'oros, notice the volcano shape, again, narrow part facing up. We continue in the give and take. V'oros lav maisi k'derahu. But before we said, then, it's like maisi k'dera, and on the other hand, it's not. But is that, are you really sure that it's not considered maisi k'dera? And we saw above what was meant by Maisi k'dera is that there's a pre-brach of borei minei mezonos and a final brach of al hamichya. So it says in the following source, for Hatanya, Elu hein Maisi k'dera, and regarding a bracha, not regarding a cookbook. And the following items are mentioned, Chilka, Targis, Zoriz, V'arson, V'oirez. For our purposes, all we have to do is focus on Oirez associated with Maisi k'dera. The other words, Chilka, Targis, are examples of wheat that are split into different parts, whether it's split in half and or split into quarters, etc. But we want to focus on the main thing, and that is Oros is considered Maisi k'dera. That would then generate on Oros a borei minei mezonos, Kashan Rav and Shmuel. No, the Gemara answers, Ha, money, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nurihi. This brief source is according to a singular Tanaic opinion, that of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and the Rabbanan will disagree. And that's what we think right now. And it says, Ha, money, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nurihi, desan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nurihi, Orez min dogon hu. Orez is classified as a type of grain. V'chayovim al chimutzo kores, v'odom yotze bo yedei choyvose b'pesach. If one were to let's say on Pesach, so a bowl of rice sit in water, and ferment, if you will, so that will be punishable, if one eats it, of course, punishable by kores, the kores punishment, which is the same punishment that one would get for eating fermented wheat on Pesach. And if, let us say, you made matzis out of oirez, out of rice, that would be considered like making matzahs out of one of the grains, and you would fulfill your Pesach matzah requirement. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri therefore views Oros as equal to any one of the other five grains. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the number five is not accurate when referring to a min dogon, but rather it would expand to include Oros as well. So, therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I understand that there's a borei minei mezonos recited over it. But as the Gemara goes on to say, avo rabbonon lo. But the rabbonon don't agree with that, and that is the basis for Rav and Shmuel. But the Gemara is relentless. Verabonan loy, and you notice the trapezoid again is facing upwards, and we have a challenge to this answer, and it's a very long. We have a long kasha marking here, and on the side we have also we're introducing a double underline because this is going to highlight two sections of a long Tanaic source. Hakoses is hachita, and hakoses is ha'urez. Koses is basically eating something in its as it is, unprocessed in its raw form, or unprocessed form. And the source reads as follows. Now, let's just give the outline of this section before we learn it inside. There is a source with no name in it. And if you look at the end of the frame section, the Gemara will be asking, Moni, who is the author of this? Then the bracha for the oras featured in this source wouldn't reflect Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Shita, because if you hold it's a min dogon, you should be making hamotzi lechem in oras on bread made of oras, because he says it's a full-fledged case of dogon. This source doesn't say that. But therefore, we're going to have to conclude that this source is according to the Rabbanan, and in this source there's an indication that a borei minei mezoinus is made over the rice, over the oras, and that's a problem. That is a tiyufta to Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara will leave off with this question, challenge, repudiation of Rav and Shmuel. Now all the rest is detailed. So let's look into the Gemara. V'Rabbanan lo, is it so that the Rabbanan would not agree that Orez would get a bore mine mizonos? The Hot Tanya. And we should say that, as we said before, there is a a long Tanaic source. Hakoses is achita. We've broken the source by our markings into several subsections. So Roman numeral number 1 appears under Koses achita. A lot of a number of halachas regarding wheat and wheat products. And the second part of the source, Hakoses is ha'ur, as you can see with a Roman numeral number 2, a number of lines later, dealing with Orez and its processed examples. The Gemara, Hakoses is achita, mevorech aloa borei pri ha'adam. One who eats raw wheat, or wheat in its raw form, or unprocessed form, will make a borei pri ha'adam, tochana ofo bishla, if he ground it, baked it, or cooked it, then bizman shaprusos kayamos, if the this term is going to be the subject of a discussion in the Rishonim, but Rashi's explanation of this, what we're describing is wheat that was ground, it was made into flour, it was then baked and cooked. The Rashi says, Shaprusas kayomos sheloni mochu bebishulan, that they did not decompose or fall apart during the cooking, because this describes a case where he had ground it up, baked it, and then cooked it. So the source is saying, according to Rashi, Bizman Shaprusos Kayomos, if the pieces are still intact, so Betchila Mevorech Olah Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz, Ulebesof Mevorech Olah Sholosh Brachos, which is Birchas Hamazon. So if you see what we'll say, just, you know, still you have pieces of bread that, though they've been subjected to cooking, after they're having been baked, you will still make a borei hamotzi lechem inoretz like you would on ordinary bread, and a birchas hamazon afterwards. Ein hapusas kayamos, if they are no longer intact, betchila mevorech aleha borei minei mezonos, you would then make a go down in quality bracha wise to a borei minei mezonos, from originally being subject to hamotzi lechem inoretz, ulebesof mevorech aleha bracha achas mein shalosh, and then you'll make an al hamichya. The details of this source, by the way, will be analyzed later by the Gemara. And of course, for those who are interested, we in Gemara markings and Mirza Shem provide a separate Tosfos shir that will look into some of the points here even in further detail. However, we continue. Hakoses is ha'orez, one who eats the rice in its unprocessed form. Mevorech olav borei pri ho'adoma. He would make that bracha. Tochno v'ofoi ubishlo, if he ground it up and baked it and cooked it. Afal pi shaprusos kayomos, even though the pieces are still intact. even the slices of this baked rice good are still intact. Betchila mevorach olav borei minei mezonos ulebesof mevorach olav brocha achas me'ein shalosh. That's the Tanaic source. Now, money, who authors this? Elaim or Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he, if you think it's he, it's him, then the Omar Orez min Doganhu, that Orez is no different than wheat and barley and any of the old, or the other standard grains, then if you were to have taken rice and baked it into a loaf, and then sliced it and cooked it, and if the pieces were still intact, he would tell you to make hamotzi lechem in aretz v'shalosh brachas boi bruchi. As we said before, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, there's no difference between orez and the other chamisha minei dogan. In fact, we saw him go so far as to say if you were to make matzahs out of it on Pesach, you would fulfill a Torah matzah eating requirement, showing you the high level that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ascribes to rice. So this source could not be authored by him, and simply to relegate it to the realm of an individual opinion, thereby defending Rav and Shmuel, giving them a basis to rely on the other Tanaic opinion. That's not the case. Elolav Rabbonon hi, this source that indicates that on rice, if it's processed, you will make a borei minei mezonos, as opposed to eating it raw, which you would then just make a borei pri adoma. But if you're going to have rice in a processed form, this is a source according to the Rabbanan, utyufta the Rav Ushmuel. Tyufta, this is a repudiation of Rav and Shmuel that said that under no circumstances will rice get a borei minei mezonos. Here you have a Tanaic source saying that the rice will get a borei minei mezonos. And the Gemara leaves that off as a tiufta. This is a repudiation of Rav and Shmuel. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, a diamond around the expression Omar Mar, and one later. These are simply tzitutim. These are quotes we've indicated on the side. These are quotes from the source above. We continue. Omar Mar, HaKaisis is Achita, Mevorech Aleo Borei Pri Huadoma. One who eats the wheat in a raw form, in an unprocessed form, he makes the borei pri adoma, pre-eating bracha. V'tanya, but is there not another source that says borei minei zira'im? The expression zira'im is a more focused type of bracha than pri adoma. Pri adoma means the fruit of the land, is a very general type of bracha. It's less general than shehakol nieh bedvaro, but it's nevertheless fairly general. This bracha says borei minei zira'im. Zira'im are seeds. So the one who created different types of zira'im. We have to decide what is the bracha on raw, on kaisis sachita. The Gemara answers there's no difficulty here. Lo kashya ha Rabbi Yehuda v'ha Rabbanan. The source that we labeled as Beis is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Now Shitas Rabbi Yehuda we saw in the Mishnah that said that when you deal with different types, different categories of growths from the ground, you specify if the food item is eaten in a grain form, you will make borei minei zroim. If it's an item that's eaten in its green vegetable like form, as is characteristic, let's say lettuce and spinach and other kinds of ground growths, you would make a borei minei deshoyim. Deshoyim literally has to do with grasses. But he is specific in his bracha text formulation, more specific than the Rabbanan. So the second source, which focuses the bracha to something more specific than simply the general borei pri adoma phrase, is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. The ha Rabbanan. And the Aleph source, the source we label Aleph that says Kaisa Achita Yisei Borei Pri Adoma, is in accordance with the Rabbanan. And this distinction was something we saw in our Mishnah, the Disnan, as it was taught, the Al Hayirokisu Omer Borei Pri Adoma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Borei Minei Deshoyim. Yirokos meaning green vegetables. Green vegetables meaning as opposed to things that are eaten in their grain or their grain type form, like a bowl of wheat and a bowl of barley. there Rabbi Yehuda would say you would make a borei minei zroim, whereas the Rabbanan have a general bracha from all non-tree growths, a borei pri ho'adama. The Gemara continues, Omar Mar, another quote from the source above, HaKaisis HaSa'iriz Mevorech Olav borei pri ho'adama, one who chews on or eats rice in its unprocessed form makes a borei pri ho'adama, Tochano Ofo Yubishlo, if it was ground up, baked, and cooked, afa pisha prusos kayamos, b'tchil mevorech olav borei minei mezonos, ulebasoif, brocha achas me'ein shalosh. In this section of the Gemara, as opposed to the focus of the Gemara above was on the pre-brocha, here we're going to focus more on the post-eating brocha, the final brocha. So this source says that when you finish eating the processed grain item, you would make an al hamichya. That's me'ein shalosh. The Gemara asks, "Vahat Tanya?" But we have another Tanaic source that says lebusoif veloy klum. Now, literally, it would mean afterwards you make no bracha. But that's not the pshat. That's not the explanation. Rashi says veloy klum kloimar ein ton mibirchos peros eretz yisrael veloy klum. It doesn't require any elaborate bracha that you would make upon eating a food that Eretz Yisrael was blessed in, which we call Me'ein Shalosh. Ela, there is a bracha, but it's a much shorter bracha, Borei Nefoshes Rabbis. Kechol Midi, the Lesse Mishivas, I mean, like any other food stuff that's not from the seven varieties of plant that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with. So that this other source, we're going to refer to it as the short source. It says with the self aloklum, but it's simply, it appears short, but it's essentially the same source as above. And you would cut out and paste in. You would cut out the expression of the self rochas mishosh and paste in the self aloklum. So on the processed rice, you would be saying a borei nefoshos. So make sense of these two sources? How do we resolve them? At this point, the Gemara tries to say that they represent two different Tanaic authorities. The names and the full understanding of this will come to a head when we get to Omid Beis. Desanya, we have a long Tanaic source that continues down the first five lines of Amud Beis. So, in this source, we'll be exposed to these shitas of Rav Gamliel and Rabbanan, and will thereby, hopefully, but it won't be successful in the final stage, hopefully at least see an attempt to ascribe these two sources to these two opinions. So, once again, we're focusing on the issue of the final bracha on a processed rice food item. Desanya, the source says, "Ah, klal kol shehu mishivas haminim." The rule is that which is of the seven varieties that the land of Israel was blessed with. That will, the seven varieties is not to be confused with the five types of grain. These are the seven fruit items that the Torah mentions in the blessing of Israel, including things like wheat and barley and grapes and pomegranates, figs and dates. So we continue here. Those are the shivas aminim. Rabbi Gamliel Oimer shalosh brachos, the bracha over consuming one of the shivas aminim is birchas hamazon. And it might be an eyebrow riser for some of you. What do you mean? I'm going to finish grapes and say birchas hamazon? So it shouldn't be too surprised, because in the Torah, the seven varieties of vegetation that the land of Israel is blessed with is featured together with the source for birchas hamazon. So that this is not a surprising opinion. Torah text related. The Chachomim Oimrim, the Chachomim disagree, and they say that on the Shivas Aminim, on the other products Israel was blessed with, there will be Brocha Achas Me'ein Shalosh, which is the shortened version text that begins with Alo Eitz Val Priya Eitz Val Agefen Val Priya Agefen, but not Birchas Hamazon. An incident took place where the Rabbi Gamliel and the other sages were reclining, but it means they were eating in this location in a some type of loft or second story in the city of Yericho. And they were served. Kosovos are dates, and they ate them. V'nasa Gamliel reshus Rabbi Kiva levorach, and Rabbi Gamliel turned to Rabbi Kiva to lead in the recitation of the final bracha. Now, this idea of leading in the recitation is something that is characteristic of Birchas Hamazon, where we have a what's known as a zimun, and the original form of zimun is that there would be a calling to bless together, and one person would essentially lead, would recite the Birchas Hamazon, and everyone would be yotze, would listen to that. So Rabbi Gamliel is summoning, giving the honor to Rabbi Kiva to lead in the what Rabbi Gamliel thought would, or hoped would be, with the Birchas Hamazon. That's this idea of Nosan Rabbi Gamliel Rishus Rabbi Kiva Levorech. And you know what happened? Kofatsu Birch Rabbi Kiva Brocha Achas Mein Shalosh. And lo and behold, Rabbi Kiva, he lunged at the opportunity to say, not Birchas Hamazon, to say Me'ein Shalosh, the abbreviated type of benediction, much to the great consternation of Rabbi Gamliel. Omar Le Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel sees what's going on, and he says, Akiva Ad Mosayat Machnes Rosh Chabein Machlokes. Until when are you going to be inserting your head in the midst of a controversy? In other words, realizing that this subject is controversial, but you know my opinion, and as you should have said Birchas Hamazon. Omar Le, Rabbi Kiva responds, Rabbeinu, it says, our master, referring to Rabbi Gamliel, Afal Pishato Imer Kain, even though you say Birchas Hamazon, V'chaverecha Omrim Kain, and your colleagues disagree, and they say just Me'ein Shalosh, Limadetan Rabbeinu, but you taught us, Yochid V'rabim Halochid K'rabim, when a controversy exists between the individual versus the majority, the halacha follows the majority. And therefore, I, in saying Me'ein Shalosh, the concise benediction, was following what you taught me to do, the majority opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmoi, Rabbi Yehuda quotes, saying in the name of Rabban Gamliel, Kol Shehu Mishivas Haminim, any of the a food item that is one of the seven types of food that Israel was blessed with, the lav min dogon hu, and is not a grain, oy min dogon velo aso pas, or a grain, but it wasn't made into bread, it wasn't baked. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shalosh Brochos, v'chachamim Omerim Brocha Achas. What brochachas of Me'ein Shalosh? The Rashi at the top says, "V'lav min dogon shebe min dogon yesh chiluk shimaso pas hakol modim shitzorach lachar of gimel brochas." So that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the name of Rabbi Gamliel is similar to what we heard before, in so far as that the things like anything that land of Israel was blessed with will generate a birchas hamazon. But the expression of v'lav, it's v'lav min dogon, meaning to the exclusion of min dogon, grain that was made into bread. Then you won't have this machlokes. Of course, Rabbi Gamliel will say if it's made into bread, there'll be a shalosh brach, that goes without saying, and the Rabbanan would agree with that. But here, as Rashi says, this expression v'lav min dogon is a case where it hasn't been made into bread. Oy min dogon. Or as it says here, O min dogon velo aso pas. Here it's clearer. So in cases like that, Rabbi Gamliel will say, nevertheless, there is shalosh brachos. The chamam brocha achas me'ein shalosh. They'll say it's just the concise brocha. Kol she'enu lo mishivas haminim velo min dogon kagon pas erz v'doichen. Something that's not of the seven things Israel was blessed with, and it's not bread. It's not bread made of the five grains. For example, Oyrez and Doichen, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Brocha Achaz Me'ein Shalosh, V'chomim Omerim V'lo Klum. And here you see in full glory the distinction between, or the machlokes, the controversy surrounding Oyrez and Doichen, what the final Brocha is. Now, if you use our, if you go back to Omid Aleph, where we had the small source, it said Lebesofa lo klum, and right before that we had the quote from the larger source indicating Lebesof brocha achas mein shalosh, and Rav Sheshes said to resolve the two sources, you simply say one is Rav Gamliel, the other is the Rabbanan. So how do we set things up now? The short source on Omid Aleph was the Rabbanan, as you can see here, Vachomer Melo Klum, the quote from the long source that said Sof Brocha Machs Mein Shalosh, that is according to Rabban Gamliel. The Gemara asks, V'mai Ukimta, how are we setting up the long source right now? K'Rabban Gamliel. So we're saying it's according to him. Emo Seifa Dereisha. Why not? Well, let's now look at that long source, but at an earlier section, the end of the Reisha. And you can see we have a star here to the immediate right-hand side indicating Omid Aleph, so you can look back to Omid Aleph, find the star on the right-hand side of the Gemara text back there on Omid Aleph, and you'll see where this quote is coming from. It's coming from that long source, but from the end of the first part of it. And it says, Im ein hapusas kayamos, if you had a wheat item that had been baked and then cooked, and the pieces, using Rashi's pshat, the pieces had fallen apart, and it's something that started out as real pas, it started out as bread, but it was cooked, and then the pieces are not kayamos. B'tchila mevorech olea borei minei mezoinos, l'besov mevorech olea brocha achas mein shalosh. The pre-brocha would be just borei minei mezonos. Money. Well, who is the author of this? Up till now, we were given to believe that it is Rabban Gamliel. Well, E. Rabban Gamliel, if it were him, Hashta akisovas vadaisa oimeir Rabban Gamliel gimel brachas, mind you, on dates or on daisa, which is a cereal form of grains that were simply crushed and cooked. They were never made into bread. But even on those things, Rabban Gamliel says, you say a birchas hamazon, im ein aprusas kayomos, on something that was originally bread and simply it fell apart, mibaya, what I need to tell you is bread that fell apart any worse, any lower in quality than daisa? Certainly not. And so if on a lower quality, lower type food, lower meaning that the bread is at the top of the food line as far as brochas are concerned, so on a lower type food, something that was never bread in the first place, Rabban Gamliel would have you say a birchas amazon, gimel brochas, on a case of ena prusas kemos, where something was originally bread but fell apart in the cooking, would I need to tell you? It's obvious there would be a birchas amazon. Elopshita Rabbanan. Well, then that big source can't be according to Rabban Gamliel. So we'll have to say that it's according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who will tell you that on the seven things that Israel was blessed with and the five kinds of grains, you would make a borei minei mezonos, unless it's actual bread. But otherwise, borei minei mezonos. All right, so now the big source becomes the Rabbanan. Well, then, ihochi kashio de Rabbanan ad Rabbanan. Now we have an internal stira within the Rabbanan. What do we mean by that? So first of all, we have a little squiggled arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Go back to Omid Aleph, and you'll see two squiggled arrows, and they're pointing to the two sources regarding the issue of the rice. Remember, just before we tried to say that the rice final bracha was borei nefashos, that what we referred to up till now was the short source. We said, well, that was according to the Rabbanan. And the source before that said, that was according to Rabban Leah. But that was a quote from the big source that we just proved could not be according to Rabban Gamliel. And we just said that the big source was according to the Rabbanan. But the big source said is Rabbanan, and the little source Rabbanan, but they are contradictory regarding the rice issue. The Gemara says, Ela li'olam rabbonan. The big source is, in fact, the rabbonan. Utni gabi orez, and regarding orez, in the long source, we have to restate it. In other words, there's a textual change that has to take place, and say, ula besoif, eino mevorech, olav, veloklum, the final bracha will not be the concise, the me'ein shalosh, but will rather be a mere borei nefoshois rabois. Well, that having been said, nevertheless, the original repudiation of Rav and Shmuel remains, because the source indicates that on rice there is a there will be a borei minei mezonos, and at the end a brocha me'achas me'im sholosh, which is something that Rav and Shmuel, when they described Orez and Dochan, they said there is no birchas borei minei mezonos. The Gemara continues, and before we continue, we look at the topic heading on the side of our Gemara, Brochos al Rihata. There's a new food item, and in our markings, as we mentioned in a previous shiur, that we will be circling the food items under discussion. So the new food is the Rihata, but there are two kinds of Rihata. One is called the Chakloi, and the other one is called the Mechoiza. And another food item, the Chavitza. So if you look in our marked Gemara, you will see the circles around these respective things. The Gemara. Omar Rava. Hai Riata de Chakloi. The Riata of Chakloi are sometimes translated as farmers or villagers. It's the Rashi says that Riata de Chakloi is Chovitz Kedera. And Chovitz Kedera was featured back on Lamed Vav Amid Beis, where Rashi mentioned that it was a dish made of flour, honey, and oil. So, according to Rashi, we're associating Riata with the Chovitz Kedera. What's unique about the Chakloi version of the Riata? The Mafshi Bei Kimcha, there is a lot of flour in it. Mevorech Borei Minei Mezonos. My taima, why? The smida ikar, the flour is the smidas, the flour is the mainstay of the dish. The mechoiza, the riata of mechoiza, that's why this is called beis, the lo mafshi bei kimcha, it doesn't have a lot of flour in it. Mavorech olav shakol niyabidvaro. My taima, why is that the appropriate bracha? Answer duvsha ikar, because in that dish the honey is the mainstay of the dish. But then Rava changed his mind and said, "Edi v'edi borei minei mezonos." Whether it's a flowery a dish or it's a honey type dish, both will have borei. Both will generate borei minei mezonos, because even in the dish that's where we say duvsha ikar, nevertheless there is one of the five grains. There's flour in there. The Rav Shmuel Amitravayo calls Sheish Bo Mechamishas Aminim Mevorchin Olav Borei Minei Mezonos. Any dish that has in it a representation of the five grains, that overrules, so to speak, and makes the bracha Borei Minei Mezonos. Omar Rav Yosef, Hai Chavitza. Here we've circled Chavitza, a new dish. Now Rashi explains regarding Chavitza. He says, "Kein shal naikuk shemefarin besoche ilfis lechem." It's a type of dish that has in it pieces of bread that have been made into crumbs. Mefarin piwurin, a reference to crumbs, or broken down into small pieces. So the chavitza, Rav Yosef says, "Hai chavitza, the is be piwurin kezais." If the pieces are an olive size. Of an olive size, after all, it is bread. It's just small pieces now, but they are a kezias, an olive in quantity, size wise. So you'll make your first bracha hamotzi lechem aretz, and b'sof mivorech olav shalosh brachas, and the final bracha birchas hamazon. The less bay purin kezias, if the chavitza is of smaller than olive size pieces of bread. Then b'tchilim mevorach laborei minei mezonos l'vasof broch achas mein shalosh. So according to Rav Yosef, it all depends on the size of the pieces of what was originally bread. Omar of Yosef, Mino Amino Law. What is the basis for my ruling that on kezias size pieces you will make a hamotzi lechem in aretz? So, Desanya, the Tanaic source, will reveal Rav Yosef's basis. This source is referring to the offering of a meal offering in the Beis HaMikdash. There happens to be a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, on who is offering the mincha over here, who is bringing it. According to Rashi, it's the owner of the mincha who then presents it to a kohen to be offered. And according to Tosfos, the focus is on the kohen himself. But that's a detail for right now. Omer Baruch. This is abbreviated as the Gemara often abbreviates brachas, but we have put three dots in our Gemara to indicate they're missing words. Baruch Shechiyonu V'Kimonu V'Yonu L'Zman Hazeh. If you say, for example, it's the first time that he's doing the mitzvah of bringing a korban mincha, this is the appropriate bracha of Shechiyonu. Notlon L'Ochlon. The kohen is the only one allowed to eat from a mincha, so the kohen takes from it to eat. Mevorech Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz. Regarding the way a mincha is processed, is that after the mincha is baked, it's then broken into pieces, and the pieces of the mincha are a kezias in size. So if you navigate with our markings, you see we've dashed underline hamotzi and the word kezias. So when is hamotzi recited? We're talking about a mincha, which essentially is a it's a baked item. For lack of better expression, it's a form of bread. So here you have bread, and if the piece is a kezias in size, you make hamotzi. Rabbi asks a question, and the question takes a few lines to develop. We have a long question marking. Omar le Abaye, elo me ata. By the way, before we learn the question, we should note that the title of our sugya is Goydel Umara Pirurin Vashbasam Al Habrocha, Mezoinus Amotzi, the size and appearance of pieces and the effect that these factors have on the bracha. Is it Amozonos or Hamotzi? Until now, we are seeing Rav Yosef's opinion that if it is an olive quantity in size, the piece of bread is an olive quantity in size, it will get Hamotzi. And if not, it will be borei mine mezonos. The Gemara or Abaye asks, Omar le Abaye lo me'ata l'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, the Omar. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, the school of Rabbi Shmuel, has a different approach to the information we saw before, and it says this porchon av shimachziron l'siltan. That according to Rashi, this means he took the menachos that had been baked, and and he then crumbles them into crumbs, meaning you're not dealing with something that's a kezias. So according to the Tana Rebbe Shmuel, that regarding the menachos, it says porchanat shemachzirin l'siltan. Siltan means their flour stage, but there's the crumbs that we call crumbs, not an olive in quantity size and whatsoever. It's much smaller. And that's the way the mincha is processed before it's eaten. Hochi, nami, delo, boi, bruchi, hamotzi, lechem in oretz. Are you going to say, well, as a result of that, so it's going to lose the brichas hamotzi? Well, and that's what Rav Yosef would have suggested. V'chiteimo hochi nami. And if you say that's right, there will be no hamotzi because of lack of size, piece size. V'hotanya, but we have a Tanaic source that says as follows. Lokat mikulon kezayas v'ochlon. If one gathered together, according to Rashi, this means, and this is Rashi's pshat, Tosfos may actually disagree with this, but Rashi says that he gathered together from the menachos, from the pieces of menachos, an olive quantity of crumbs, and ate them. Im chometz hu onish kores. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's pshat because of this phrase. It says here, if it's chometz, so it will create an onish of kores. Reason that Tosfos doesn't like this pshat of Rashi is because by menachos they're not allowed to become chometz in the first place. You wouldn't have a mincha that's chometz. But for our purposes, we're going to stick with Rashi's pshat right now, that we're talking about pieces of a mincha, and if it's chometz, and assuming that it's Pesach time, so it would create a punishment of kores, v'im matzahu, and like we said, it's Pesach time, and he's eating a mincha on Pesach. If it's matzah, adam yotzei bo yedei chovoso b'pesach, he would fulfill his matzah requirement. The Torah says, "Ba'erev tochlu matzos." He will fulfill his matzah requirement. Now, let's take a look at the Rashi. Dibur Maskel Kizai. It's just a few lines up from here. Rashi says, "Umidika Omar yotzei bo yedei chovoso b'pesach mishum achilas matzah the mitzvah sasehi." It says in this source that he would fulfill his matzah requirement, which is a positive command from the Torah, dichtiv ba'erev tochlu matzos. V'hosam, in the case of the matzah of the Torah, lechem bo'inon, you need something called lechem, dichtiv ba, regarding matzah, the Torah says lechem oini, almo lechem havi. So these crumbs that he's gathering together, an olive quantity of crumbs, olive size, quantity of crumbs, not that the crumbs are an olive, that each crumb is an olive size, but all the crumbs together amount to a kezias. So he's eating a lot of crumbs, and it's called lechem, otherwise he wouldn't fulfill his matzah requirement. And as lechem, umavorech hamotzi, he would be saying hamotzi on that. V'homas nisan al korchach Rabbi Shmuel hi, this is a Rabbi Shmuel source, da'okotoni lokat mikulon kezias, that he gathered together the pieces. Alma b'psisin p'husin mikazayas koi. The pieces themselves are less than a kazayas in size. Where do you have a situation of pieces less than a kazayas? That's because it's according to Rabbi Yishmael. So you have a Rabbi Yishmael source telling me in so many words, you will be making a bracha of hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. So it would come out that according to everybody, on pieces less than a kezias that were originally bread, you will be making a bracha of hamotzi. And that is against Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef made everything dependent on the size. The Gemara responds, and you see a triangle here on the side of our Gemara under the Mivneh heading. The triangle represents Nisyonus, the Taretz HaKushya, Meha Braisa Lokat Mikulan Kezayas. These are attempts to explain this source which represented a kasha on Rav Yosef. So it says, Hocha B'mayaskinon, this source is B'she'orson. Rashi says, K'she'chozer V'gimblon Yachar V'chozer V'ofon. You took the pieces, the crumbs, you compressed them together, you kneaded them and compressed them and then rebaked them. Okay, if that's the case, so you're dealing now with a piece that is in effect a kezias. It's a rebaked piece that's now an olive size. Well, ihochi emo sefa, if that's the pshat, then state the end of this source, the source of Lokat Mikulan. State the end of that source. It says, V'husha ochlon, there's a plural word, ochlon, he ate them, b'chdei achilas pras, that's an amount of time, the amount of time to eat a half a loaf. But for our purposes, it means, let us say, he ate them, note the plural, within 4 minutes. We're using an amount of time that's one of the shittas in what b'chdei achilas pras is. Now, if Rav Yosef's pshat is correct, v'i b'she'or son, if it's a case where he compressed all of them into one piece, hai she'ochlon, she'ochloi mi boyalei. The source, as it is, where it says he ate them, should have been he ate it in the singular. So the fact that the source appears with the plural word expression in it indicates that it wasn't compressed, but they are still crumbs smaller than a kezias. Each individual crumb is a small thing and still a a hamotzi lechem in aretz is going to be recited. Kashan Rav Yosef. Hocha b'mayaskina, notice the triangle, another attempt to answer. Hocha b'mayaskina b'bo milechem gadol. And Rashi adds here, and okay, like we're retracting from the orson pshat, the compressed pshat, but there is still a big loaf present. He is eating crumbs, but it's in the presence of a big loaf. And that's why he will eventually, if it's a large piece of matzah, for example, he'll make a hamotzi lechem in aretz. That's because you're dealing with a big loaf is present, the balance of the loaf is there, and you are in fact eating the crumbs. Let us look at Rashi, who ties it all together. Rashi is an abbreviated Dibur Maso Hocha B'mayaskin Hei Beis Ayin U'Beshalo Arson He. It's not compressed. Ukidako amris, and as we said before, that he's eating in crumb form. The fact that it is considered of bread status, and we know that because he's eating it as matzah. Matzah and bread are really one in the same, just one is fermented and one is not, but it's considered bread, i.e. the matzah that he's going to be yotze with. Bo milechem gadol v'nishar min halechem. The pieces, the crumbs that he's eating, are crumbs that came from a large loaf, and it's still there. Shelo nifras kulo, wasn't completely cut up. Avol im nifras kulo, this is the key part of Rashi, which serves to explain the ultimate defense of Rav Yosef's position. Is avol im? It says avol im nifras kulo lo chashivi psisin apusim mikazayas. If it's been totally cut up into pieces, and you have basically crumbs there, maybe some larger size crumbs. So we say in such a case, lo chashib sisa napusa mikazayas, the crumbs less than mikazayas will have no significance in velomivorchin on a moitzi, the ein yotze ben yedei chovas matzah bepesach. And you wouldn't fulfill your matzah requirement either. The salvation, so to speak, is because there's a lechem gadol present. But otherwise, you wouldn't fulfill matzah requirement. You wouldn't say hamotzi lechem, just like Rav Yosef. My havi alah. Here, the Gemara wants to know, so what is the final law? Amar Rav Sheshes. You'll notice that with our markings, we're going to present now a Bay's opinion. We have a little diamonded Bay's to meet right inside of the Gemara text. Above, we had noted an Aleph opposite Rav Yosef's name, and the double underlining also highlights the reference or the connection between these particular Shittas. So that you'll see instantly why we've marked it like that. Rav Yosef above had made reference to the Chavitza, and so to Rav Sheshes. Omar Rav Sheshes, Hai Chavitza, Af Algav, the less Bei Piruin Kezayas, Mevorech Olov Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. And here you can see the point of the markings and the point of controversy. Here, even if the pieces are less than a Kezayas, you will still make Hamotzi Lechem min ha'aretz. And as we mentioned before, the chavitza basically came from a piece of a loaf of bread that was crumbled. Omar Rava. Rava, though, adds a qualification. Granted, the pieces are less than a Kezayas, but granted that there will be hamotzi. However, it depends on the who the ika ole to risa de nahama. To risa, Rashi explains, and this is a very important expression, to risa de nahama, but Rashi says, toar maris alechem, the pieces look like they came from bread. So it would have to have a bread appearance, these pieces, these less than kezayas pieces, and there would thereby be a motzi lechem. A common example of this might be something like crotons, assuming that the crotons are from that which was originally baked as bread and then simply cooked and toasted, but you can see that they came from bread. They have a bread look to them. As the Gemara goes on, you'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and this bracketed section is not something, the brackets aren't used here for skipping purposes, but rather to create a self-contained unit of Gemara. And you'll notice we have a little star to the side where the brackets are explained. He'ora, b'sagraim elu yesh inyone chala muskar po. Things that are related to the halacha of the chala tithe, that's the tithe of dough removed from a batter and given to a kohen. Kuba de'ara, kepirush l'truknin. And we will mention Kuba de Ara, which is going to be an explanation of Truknin. Hagemora b'lamid ches amarav show mahu habrocha de Kuba de Ara. Later on daf lamid ches, the Gemara will ask what is the brocha made on Kuba de Ara. So here there's going to be a tie-in to the Gemara later on, but essentially this is a this bracketed section will be focusing on halachas of chala. So the source says, within the brackets, truknin chayovin b'chala. We haven't explained what truknin are, but we're saying they're chayav in the chala tithe. V'chein v'chi osa rovin om Rabbi Yochanan truknin p'turim in a chala. And the other opinion of Rav Yochanan says the truknin are exempt from the chala tithe. My truknin, well, what are these? Omar Abaye, kuva di'ara. Rashi, Kuba di'ara, the first line under the Gemara text, Oyse mokom chalal bikira, he makes a type of hole in a stove, v'nosein b'socho mayim v'kemach, bearing in mind that these stoves were clay entities, and informing them, you could do this, you can make a type of pocket or hole, a pocket in the wall of the kira, and in that you would put water and flour as if you were making it in a pan, something like, let's say, pancake, if you will. But he's pouring the water and flour into the kira itself, and it will bake there. So that's kuba di'ara. The Amar Abaye, tarisa ptura min hachala. Tarisa, another food item, and that's why we have this circled, is exempt from the chala tithe. My tarisa, what is that? Iko di amri govil marsich, viko di amri namo dahandika, viko di amri lechem osli lukusach. Three opinions, and we look in the Rashi, we saw the first opinion on tarisa is govil mirsach. Rashi says, noisnim kemach umayim bekli, he puts flour and water in a vessel, ubochashin bekaf, and it's stirred, v'shoifchin al hakirok shi nisekes, and it's placed, it's poured over the grill, or the stove top, when it's very hot. Some sense very similar to the to what might be called pancakes that are poured over a griddle. We also saw Nahama de Hindika. That's another pshat. And by the way, these things, bear in mind, we're talking about whether or not we're talking primarily exemption from chala tithe. The rules of when you tithe the chala are spelled out in the Mishnayos, in Maseches Chala. For our purposes right now, we're mentioning that these food items, though they're made of a type of batter, which you would expect chala to be tithed from, but these are exempted for technical chala reasons. Continuing in the explanation of the Gemara, we have Nama de Hindika, Rashi, second line from the bottom, Botzek Shoifen Bishpud, it's a dough baked on a skewer, Umoshchin Oisoi Tomid Bishemen, Obemei Beitzim Bishemen, and as it's baking on the skewer, it's coated, smeared with oil or with eggs and oil. And the third opinion of what Tarisa was Lechem Osu Lekusach. Rashi says, Lechem Osu Lekusach, Ein Oifin Osu Betano B'chama, it's baked in the sun and not in an oven, and that's the reason it's exempt from Chala. Chala is taken from batters that are baked in ovens. The Gemara continues, Toni Rabbi Chia, Lechem Osu Lekusach, Potter Min HaChala. The last opinion of what Teresa was, this was lechem osu lekusach. So the Rabbi Chia source says bread made for kusach. Kusach, we should point out, is a dish, it's a dairy dish that's made of fermenting milk, you might say, as is explained in other Gemaras. But in that fermenting milk, pieces of bread were placed. But what kind of bread? It's special bread. It's this bread that was baked in the sun. So Rav Chiya's source says that lechem osi l'kusach, bread made for this kusach dish, is exempt from the challah tithe. Abba tanya chayav b'challah, but there's another source that says one does tithe challah from that. The more answers, Hasam Kidiktani Taimo. There, as the explanation is spelled out, and we have the Tanaic source spells out the reason. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Maaseh Mochichan Olea. The way it was originally prepared will demonstrate, will it necessitate a challah tithe or not. And it's explained, it's dependent. Asa'on Ke'ovin. If it was made ke'ovin, chayovin, however, ke'limudin, peturin. Rashi explains. On the top, we're at the very top of Lamed Ches, Omed Aleph. So Rashi says, ke'ovin, arucha, it's formed, mikutefes kegruskois nois, it's formed into loaves, nicely shaped loaves, and it's coated like with egg coating possibly, or smeared with other substances, with oils. So it's goli daiti lechem asa. It shows us that he originally intended it not for the kusach, but he intended it for making nice loaves. Kelimudim turim kinesorim v'alma, like boards, shalohik pedal arisosam, and where he wasn't interested in their nice form. The dugmasashin boikotin, so the limudim luchin the board shalyain lechasos. Like there, the Gemara explains the same, uses the same word, but in there it means actual boards. So, according to this, we can see what the mindset of the person was when he was preparing the dough. If he was preparing it in as nicely formed loaves, so then there will be a chiyuv hafroshas challah, and that only later on he apparently was a change of mind to use it for the kusach dish, but the original preparation was not for that. It wasn't for baking in the sun for kusach. So that therefore there will be a chiyuv challah. However, if his original form of preparation indicates to us that he wanted it for what he actually uses for the kusach, it will be exempt. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.